Let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful morning. As we look out at the beauty of the snow, we also see the sun peeking through, and we're reminded of your hand in all things. And we praise you. We praise you for having guided us this morning already. Please continue to do so. We praise you for having walked with us this week. Please continue to walk with us in life. It gets hard some days, Lord, you know. You know what each one of us has gone through this week. You know the families that are hurting and still reeling from the loss of loved ones, including this week. And so we're just asking and praying that you would comfort them. We're praising you this morning, Father, that your hand of healing has been on people in the hospitals, especially these little babies. We praise you for that. We praise you, Almighty God, that your Spirit is working in the hearts and lives of people all across our land, including in our own city, our own families. We praise you for that. We would pray that you would continue to work, Heavenly Father, in the hearts and lives of people. May your name be glorified. Thank you for this day. Continue to guide us now. We lift up this entire list on our prayer focus and ask, Father God, thy will be done. Minister to the hurting, heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free, give sight to the blind, spiritually speaking, and help all of us to walk closer with you today than we did yesterday. Draw us nearer and nearer to you, blessed Lord. Thank you for each one here. Guide us now as we look at Scripture for a few minutes. I pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Hope you've got your Bibles with this morning because you're going to need them. The screen has gone up. It's time to get your Bibles. And so if you didn't bring one, there should be one on under a seat in front of you someplace, I hope, for your enjoyment. Every now and then, I tell the guys in the sound booth, put the screen up. It's time to dig out the Bible. And so, I hope you've got one with you this morning. Turn in it with me to Matthew 25. We're going to get right after it because it's the time is moving very quickly. Matthew 25. We're talking once more about transformation. Successful transformation, this scripture is going to be about. Matthew 25, I think most of you know the story, begins at verse 31. Jesus is talking about the end time. Here we go, Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another. As a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats He will set on the left hand. Then the king will say to those on His right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the very foundation of the world. And then Jesus goes on. He's speaking to those on His right hand, those that are set aside as sheep, but destined to eternity with Him in His kingdom. He says to them, beginning in 35, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Verse 37. Then the righteous, and let me just say this, they are righteous not because of what they have been doing, but they are righteous because of Jesus. I've been telling us that for 2 months as we have looked through this transformation series. We cannot work our way to heaven, but when we come to Christ, it is a new day. We are changed, hallelujah. We are a new creation. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. God takes up residence in us, and He begins to change us. And this work of transformation that happens within each of us because of Christ, we start to do the things that He just listed. So when He says the righteous, that's the sheep, that's the ones on the right hands, they are righteous because of Jesus and our faith in Jesus. Then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. You see, brothers and sisters, I talked about loving the Lord our God with all of our heart a few times, and loving our neighbor as ourself, and a transformed believer can also love our enemies. These people that Jesus is addressing, the sheep on his right hand, they loved the Lord to the point that they loved their neighbor intentionally. That's why they said, when did we see you like this? And Jesus simply answers to them, every time you did it to one that needed it, you did it to me, Jesus says. Then he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Let me just say this, friends. From the foundation of the world, God created hell. He created it for the devil and his followers. Those angels that fell from God's glory in eternity past sometime. It was created for them. It is not the will of God that any person should go there. But I told you last week about the broad road and the narrow way. The narrow way is difficult, but the narrow way is Christ. And we must find Christ. We must trust Him as Lord. We must surrender to Him. It is not the will of God that any should go on the broad road to hell, but people will go if we don't choose Jesus. And He says here, He will address those on His left hand, and He will say to them, depart from me into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And then he says something that is profound to me. I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you didn't take me in. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not visit me. He is saying, listen to me, friends. He is saying, you may have called yourself a Christian, but you didn't follow Jesus. There is a difference. I've been telling us about that for 2 months. When we really surrender to Christ, when we really invite Him to be Lord of our life, He will change you. And we will look at things differently. We will respond to things differently. We will act differently. And He is saying to these people, just because you said you're a Christian doesn't necessarily add up until you have surrendered to me completely and allow the Holy Spirit of God to do a work in us. And they will answer Him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And He will answer them saying, I say to you, inasmuch as you didn't do it to anybody around you, you didn't do it to me. And these will go into everlasting punishment, says the Lord. I don't think we will talk about transformation anymore. I think this will be it. I think we've had enough. I think we get it. The Lenten season now is upon us, and it's time to start to prepare for Palm Sunday, Good Friday, Resurrection Morning, and all those wonderful, wonderful things in the very near future. But today I wanted to use this scripture and show us another example of what a transformed follower of Christ looks like. This is not the word according to Jim. This is the word according to Jesus. When we have given our lives to Christ, and I mean surrendered to Christ, and allow His Spirit to lead us, I've said this over and over and over, our lives just start to look differently. We can say we're Christian all day long. 67% of Americans do. But until we have surrendered our will to God, until we have received by faith Jesus Christ and are allowing the Holy Spirit of God, transformation cannot happen in us until we trust Him and surrender to Him. Matt's story last week is evidence, if you heard it, I think a lot of you did, of transformation taking place in this brother. And the people that Jesus set here on His right hand in this story are people that love the Lord so much that it showed in tangible loving ways to their neighbors. They loved Jesus first, not our own agenda, not our own will. When these people pray, "Thy will be done," they meant it. They're not trying to work their way to heaven. What they're doing here is simply evidence that they have been born again. They have been born again. That's a spiritual rebirth. Then the righteous will say to Him, "Lord, when did we do that? When did we see You hungry or thirsty or naked or in prison or alone? When did we do that?" And Jesus said, Assuredly, inasmuch as You have done it unto the least of these, the down and outers, when You have done it unto them, You have done it unto Me," Jesus said. Jesus is commending the sheep here. He is commending those on His right hand for their everyday service for the kingdom of God. This is not necessarily a bunch of pastors. This is people who have surrendered to Christ. This is people who had said, "Jesus, I need You. I repent of my sin. I invite You to be Lord of my life and use me to bring You glory." This is everyday folks. This is not just preachers. Everyday folks living for the Lord every day. This is evidence in these verses of a life transformed. Friends, if I never have any time for anybody but myself, my own agenda, my own will, there really isn't much evidence of transformation in my life if that's how I am. It's setting my will and my agenda aside. It's getting Jim off the throne of his own life and getting Jesus on it. Jesus is saying here with absolute certainty in this passage that those on His right hand are those who thought of others above themselves. Why? Because Christ was first in their life. Not because, well, they say, "Well, I suppose Preacher Jim, he said I better do some good works." Not because they want to check off some list and have some good works chalked up. Because they have surrendered to Christ. And when His Spirit compelled them to move, they moved. They love the Lord first. We love the Lord first in such a way that when we saw a need, we say, "How can You use me, Lord?" These people on the right hand of Jesus were thinking others of first because they had surrendered to Christ. Their lives including serving people, and they didn't even realize it. That's why they said, "When did we see You? When did we see these needs?" They were so in love with the Master and so filled with the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to move Him. They were doing these things from the Lord and they didn't even know it. They said, "When did we do that?" I want to ask us today as we close out this transformation series, are we surrendered? Have we surrendered to Christ to the point that we're willing to love our neighbors, whoever they are, in tangible ways? Are we willing to be like the Good Samaritan who I mentioned just briefly a week or two ago? Are we willing to go out of our way to love the Lord and to love that neighbor? Because if we haven't got any love for anybody else except for ourselves, we're going to be like the ones on the left-hand side, the goats that He set over on His left-hand side and said, "There were all these things around you and you didn't even notice them." And I simply ask us today, friends, Are we surrendered to the point that God will use us to bring Him glory? Who are the least of these in your community, or in your circle of friends, or in the church, or in your workplace? Who are these, the least of these that Jesus is talking about? Are there hungry among us? We know there are. Are there those in jails or prisons among us? We know there are. There's 5 jails, county jails, within 75 minutes of right here, and they're full. There's a prison within 75 minutes of right here, and they're full. And sometimes we in the Christian church get to thinking that, well, they deserve that, preacher. And I'm recalling the name, the words of Jesus that says, "Vengeance is mine, I'll do the repaying." Jesus said to them, on the left-hand side, the goats that He had separated, "I was in prison and you didn't come. I was lonely and you didn't come." Are there strangers among us? We don't have time to talk about what the Bible talks about strangers and aliens, but I'm just going to say this. Let the government work out the details of legal immigration and assimilation, and we in the church, our role is to love the stranger and offer them a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, and then offer them Jesus. That is our role in the church. The government is we need to pray for them. They're going to have to figure out the details of legal immigration and assimilation. Our role, as Jesus said, "I was a stranger," He says to the sheep, "and you took me in." He says to those on the left side, "I was a stranger and you did nothing about it." Are there any sick among us? Are there any dying? Are there any lonely? I think we get the picture. Jesus expects us, if we dare claim His name, Jesus expects us to follow Him closely enough that we love those neighbors in action. That's a transformed life. Getting myself off the throne, getting my agenda out of my way, and following Jesus. When He bid those disciples, Andrew and Peter and James and John, and all the rest of them that day, when He bid them, "Come and follow Me, I will make you fishers of men," He meant it for us too. And so let me close this whole series with the verses I referred to in Matthew chapter 7. You can turn there if you still got your Bible. I'm in Matthew chapter 7. I referred to them last week. 22 and 23, when Jesus is saying to many and to those on the left, "Many will say to me in that day, 'But Lord, we've prophesied, didn't we, in your name? Didn't we cast out some demons? Haven't we even done some wonders in your name?'" And Jesus says in verse 23 of Matthew 7, "And I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" I'm simply saying to us again today, friends, don't be in that crowd on that day. Don't be in that crowd on the left-hand side. 67% of Americans today said, "I'm a Christian." And I pray and hope that you are, and I hope that we are in America. But the bottom line is, if we haven't surrendered to Christ and put Him first and let Him lead us, we're not where we need to be with Him yet. I've said this a lot of times. I'll say it once more. We need to repent of all sin. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for who He is. We need to receive Him by faith and be born again. It is a spiritual rebirth. And when we are spiritually reborn, we've all been born physically. Jesus addresses this whole topic in John chapter 3. When that spiritual rebirth happens, it is a brand new day, just like Matt told us last week. He will change you, and He will use you. And I'm simply suggesting and asking us today, make sure you're not in the left-hand crowd when Judgment Day comes. Know Christ today. Walk with Jesus. Surrender to Him. Give Him your life and watch Him lead you. Let's bow for our closing prayer. Once our prayer is done, I'm just going to stay up front here. If you want to pray about something specific, I'll be up front, and so you'll be dismissed as soon as we have prayed. Father, thank You for this beautiful morning. Thank You for Your faithfulness. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for forgiveness of sin. Thank You for the love that You have for us. No matter how far away from You we might have wandered, Your grace is still there to welcome us home. Help us, Father, to trust You completely. First and foremost, trust You for salvation. Help us to trust You completely in the difficult days of life. As we go into the week and into the difficulties, into the, even the valley of the shadow of death, help us to trust You completely. You love us. You love us better than anybody else. And so help us to love You in return and trust You and live for You. And use us, Father, to bring You glory. If that means loving our neighbors, loving those in jail, the hungry, the lonely, the sick, the thirsty, Father, use us to bring You glory. Dismiss us now with Your guiding hand into this week. Help us to get home or travel safely today. Watch over each and every one. Bless our Sunday school hour that's coming up. May Your will be done in each of our lives, I pray in the precious name of our Lord. Amen.